That's why we're here, to worship the King. Thank you. Great song. If you have your Bibles, will you turn back again to Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 1, and keep your finger there in that area. Matthew chapter 1. We've already read the scriptures, and so let's just bow in a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, now we come down to the most important part of any service, the preaching of your word. And we pray that all that's been done, all the good music that we've had has just led us to this place for the preaching of your word. I pray for these next few minutes, you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray you'll keep the folks from thinking about other activities they may have planned and concentrate on the preaching of your word. Save those who may be lost. Reclaim those who may be backslidden. Do a work in everyone's heart and change us so that we might be more like thee. Empower me now to preach your word, in Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, the USA Today newspaper ran a survey and asked the question, what does Christmas mean to you? They had a large response, and one-third of those who responded said Christmas meant the birth of Christ, while two-thirds said that Christmas meant the giving and receiving of gifts. If you've been around very long, you know how much I love this time of the year. Last week, we went to the PMO over at Purdue, and will continue to do so as long as they keep it Christ-centered, and they did again this year. And I'm looking forward to that great candlelight service that we have every year. I enjoyed the Christmas banquet the other night, 91 of us together. We had a great time. I love the family get-togethers. I love all the decorations at the mall and the stores and other places. I love all of them. And I'm looking forward to our kids program next week. But I don't want to be so caught up in the season that I forget what the season is all about. And what the season is all about is the birth of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. It's a time of year when many are more pleasant and friendly, but not everyone. If you don't believe that, ask any cashier at any store, and they'll tell you there's many that's not very pleasant and friendly at this time. And I kind of imagine the reason is because they're purchasing gifts rather than their focus on being on the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of Christ. Christmas is a sad and lonely time for a lot of people. For others, it's a time of praying and drinking and being immoral. To millions of others, Christmas means nothing. It's just another day. However, whatever Christmas means, it cannot be ignored. Christmas is the one and only holiday that is celebrated the world over. And so for non-Christians, the atheists, the agnostics, Christmas cannot be ignored, and I am glad. And the reason for the season cannot be ignored either. People at least have to think about Christ because at this time of year, he gets more exposure than any other time of the year, and I am glad. What does Christmas mean to me? It means that God loved me with all of his heart, and he loves me unconditionally. It means that God has seen my lost condition, and I'm helpless to do anything about it, but he has. It means that God has given to me the best gift that even God could give. It means that my Savior is born to set an example with his life. He was born to die for my sins. He was born to be raised for my justification. He was born to ascend on high and make intercession for us. He was born to give us hope that one of these days he's going to come and take all of us who know him and love him unto himself in heaven. I remember a few years ago, I was trying to help out a mother whose daughter had died during the year. And she was having a very hard time in coping with it and couldn't understand why God took her daughter away. She was so upset with God that she turned on him, and the love that she had always had for Christmas time had been turned into hatred of the season. She said, I hate the lights. I hate the Christmas trees. I hate the decorations. I hate it all. She was one miserable person, and my heart went out to her. Christmas means to me that I have a constant companion with me all the rest of my earthly days. It means that I have a friend in the hour of death. It means that I have an elder brother with whom I am going to live with forever and forever. What a great time of year this is. What can we do to those distraught people like that mother and others like her? I want to give you a few suggestions this morning. Number one, we must make room for Jesus. When Mary and Joseph came to the innkeeper said, "We have no room for you." Oh, he was the man that missed Christmas and all of its meaning. He had many guests in his hotel, but most of them were gone soon and they were forgotten. Had he allowed Jesus to be born there, this would have changed his life. If your entire thoughts of Christmas are centered around family, friends, fellowship, meals, gifts, etc., and you leave Christ out of Christmas, you are missing the whole meaning of Christmas. If your heart is filled with all other kinds of things, it means you need to discard all of them and include Christ. Do you have any room for him? Maybe you have some unconfessed past sins that are keeping you from enjoying the true meaning of Christmas. Maybe you have an unforgiving spirit toward someone. If you want a blessed Christmas, then take care of these matters. Get rid of them and make room for Jesus. As you folks sit here this morning listening to the message, is your heart and mind somewhere else? If so, you need to clear your mind and make room for Jesus. If you have no room for Christ, that's like the car saying, "I have no room for the motor." That's like the ocean saying, "I have no room for the tide." That's like a tree saying, "I have no room for the sap." That's like the heavens saying, "I have no room for the stars." That's like the garden saying, "I have no room for the flowers." Will you open up your heart this morning and make room for Jesus and invite him to come in and be your Savior? Next, it will be a better Christmas for you if you will include worship in your life, just like Tonda sung about a while ago. When Jesus was born, a wonderful miracle took place. The heavens opened up and an angel came down to speak to a group of shepherds on a Judean hillside. The angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The shepherds immediately went, found the baby in the manger, and fell upon their faces and worshiped him. Does worship have a place in your life today? Most never ever take the time to pause, look up into the face of God, and let him know that you adore him. The heathen looks up to the sun and worships. The dog worships as he gazes into his master's face. The lover worships his sweetheart, and the baby worships his mother. But God's children, saved and blessed in a million ways, go on and on and on, never lifting their hearts to God in praise and worship. It is said that Longfellow could take a worthless sheet of paper, write a poem upon it, and it would be worth several thousands of dollars. Bill Gates can sign his name to a check, and it'd be worth millions. The auto mechanic can take a 40-cent part and make it worth $50. But God can take a worthless, sinful life, wash it in the blood of Christ, put his spirit in it, and make it a blessing to the world. But even God cannot do this unless he has a chance to do it. If we come to him as the shepherds did, if we will just kneel down before him and worship him and surrender our lives to him and let him have his way with us, he'll make our lives beautiful indeed. A man was brought to a great clinic for an operation. He had to have his tongue taken out because he had cancer of the tongue. A large group of professors and students were allowed to watch the operation. The surgeon said to the patient, "This will be your last time to ever speak. Would you like to say something before the operation?" The man looked up into the faces of all that company and cried out, "Praise be to Jesus Christ throughout all eternity." To those who leave church out of their lives, to those who will not give God an hour or so on Sunday throughout the years, to those who will not take the time to worship him and others gathered together, Christmas is not what it could be nor what it should be. And next, Christmas will be better if it includes the gift of giving. The wise men came and brought their gifts to Jesus. It probably was several months after Christ's birth that they arrived on the scene. But when they did, they brought him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Each gift was very valuable. What are you going to give the Lord for his birthday this year? How much have you given to him for the salvation that he's given to you? I read a while back that there were some churches being torn down in southern Illinois. Some strange red marks were found in the cement. A chemist analyzed these marks and found them to be human blood. Back in the pioneer days, those who loved Christ built these churches. Their hands were often frozen and bleeding, but they kept on with their work. They gave their own blood for the cause of Christ, whom they loved so very much. I read a story the other day that kind of reminds me of myself. A certain Christian man went to see his lawyer, who was also a Christian. The man said to the lawyer, "I'm having a very hard time, and I want you to draw up bankruptcy papers for me." The lawyer said, I'll tell you something better. "I'll tell you the way to pay all of your debts and avoid disgrace. If you will begin to tithe and give God his part, surely he will bring you out of this difficulty. He promises to pour out his blessings upon those who tithe. You try this method for 6 months, and if it doesn't work, you come back and I'll draw up the bankruptcy papers." The man promised to do this. He stuck to his promise. He never had to return for those bankruptcy papers. God took care of him in a wonderful way. I can personally identify with this story. Has he not promised all of these things would be added upon us if we put him first? If you're there in Matthew chapter 1, go over just a few pages to chapter 6. This great verse in the 6th chapter of Matthew, page number 1003. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 33. Notice what it says very carefully. Notice also the Lord is speaking. Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is salvation. And his righteousness." That's living a godly life after salvation. "And all the necessities of life will be added unto you." The matter of giving reaches its climax on the cross. Look at what Jesus, he dies there. Look at him as he dies. What's he doing? He is giving. He's giving all that he has for you and me. He's giving us his free salvation, without which we would all end up in a burning fiery hell. I wonder, how much have you given to him financially this past year? I wonder how much of your time have you kept for yourself, and you did not even give him a tithe of your time. Does Jesus have to give his all and we give him nothing? Why don't you make this the best Christmas you've ever had by catching up on your giving? You'll be so glad that you did. Now, our church is not hurting because you haven't given anything, because others have given, but you are missing out on the blessings that God has for you but can't give to you because you're robbing him of what rightly belongs to him. Go from the first book of the New Testament to the last book of the Old Testament. So if you're there in Matthew, back up and you'll find it's the book of Malachi. And turn to chapter 3, page number 982. Malachi chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Anybody here like to have God open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even receive? Then the next thing, it'll be a much better Christmas if you'll spend some time telling others about him. Now, you folks don't have a pulpit to get behind and tell others about Christ, if I've had the privilege of doing, but you can pass out tracts. We provide these tracts for you. They don't cost you anything. You have a voice to speak a kind word to some unsaved loved one or friend. You can make a phone call or write a letter. For years, the world had looked for the promised Messiah to come to earth. They had longed for him to come and fill their hearts with joy and peace and satisfaction. Now the angel announces that he has been born. The long night of waiting is over. The angel has brought the gladdest and sweetest message the world has ever heard. In fact, the world has never been the same since then and never will be again. But men are still in the darkness of sin. They're looking for something that satisfies, something that will give them inner peace and joy. They need Jesus, who can do far more for them than they can ever imagine. If we take this message of Christ, life will never, ever be the same for them again. A certain senator in Washington invited the ambassador from Belgium to his home for dinner. Now, the senator's father was a grand old Christian man. He always sought to win souls for Christ. So the senator warned his father to be careful about what he said when the ambassador came to dinner. When the ambassador came, there was much pomp and ceremony to welcome him. Soon the old man came down the stairs, and the senator introduced him to the ambassador. The old man forgot the warning which his son had given to him, and he blurted out the question, "Sir, are you a Christian?" The senator was greatly embarrassed, but the ambassador was very courteous. Some months later, the old man died. Since his father was a senator, many, many flowers were sent to the funeral. But one wreath stood out above them all, and on the card accompanying the wreath were the words, "In memory of the only man in America who spoke to me about my soul." And the card was signed by the Belgium ambassador. A young woman applied to a foreign mission board as an appointment as a missionary. She said, "I must go to Japan as a missionary. I just must go to Japan." When they asked her why she felt so strongly that she must go to Japan, she replied, "They killed my brother, and I must go and take Jesus to them." Oh, what a spirit she had. Yes, the great need of every country in the world is Jesus, the blessed Savior. Will you give and help us to meet our missionary goal this year? Help us to pay the support of the missionaries that we have taken on by faith? A Chicago businessman tells about coming out of his office on one cold and blustery day. The snow and the rain and the sleet were all mixed up, and the wind whipped fiercely. He rolled up his collar and ran for his car. But he didn't make it to his car. In the doorway of a store, he saw, a 10-year-old boy. The boy was blue and shivering, and the man could see that he had been crying. The little fellow looked so pitiful that the man stopped and asked the boy, "What's the matter, son?" The boy said, "Oh, nothing, mister, I'm all right." But the man spoke more kindly to the boy, and then the boy told him his story. "My father sent me to the store to buy some groceries. He gave me a $10 bill with which to buy them. My hand was so cold and the wind was blowing so hard, the $10 bill slipped out of my hand. And I haven't been able to find it. I've lost it. I'm afraid to go home." The man told the boy to go on home. His father would understand. But the boy shook his head and, "No, sir, you don't know my father. He'll be drunk and he will almost kill me. I'll have to wait till he either goes to bed or goes home." The man told the boy that he would help him. So he went over to the store with him, bought the groceries, and paid for them. He told the boy not to tell his father about losing the $10. The boy thanked him sincerely. And then in a moment of great emotion, he set the groceries down on the counter, put his arms around the man's waist, and choking up a bit, the boy said, "I wish you were my daddy." Now listen to what the man said. "I walked around 4 blocks in the rain and sleet and snow to see if I could find another little boy to help who's lost some money." His joy was great, but there's another kind of joy that is much greater, and that's telling somebody about Jesus Christ, having them receive him as Lord and Savior. I wonder this morning, who do you need to tell? Maybe you need to come to Christ yourself and receive him as your Lord and Savior. So how can you make this Christmas a much better Christmas than ever? Number one, make room for Jesus in your heart and life. Number two, bow down and in adoration worship him. Number three, bring him your gifts. And number four, tell others about him and his saving grace. You want a better Christmas than you could possibly have? I've given you some instructions. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we do thank you for this great time of year. And if there are some in our midst today that do not know Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, I pray they'll come to him. I pray they'll receive him. What a gift that he offers to them, the free gift of eternal life. Nothing we can do to earn it. It's absolutely free. But oh, what a price our Lord had to pay on the cross. What a terrible death he had to go through so that we could have eternal life. So if there are those here who do not know him as their own personal Lord and Savior, I pray this morning they'll make that decision to receive him. And then there are others that have needs today, Lord. You know what the needs are. And maybe some need to come to this altar and just talk to the Lord and maybe take care of some things, some matters in their lives. You know what the people need to do. You'll help them to be obedient to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to them. Ask good bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? It's without apology. We give an open invitation on Sundays. And if you're here and you're not sure that you're going to heaven when life is over, if you'll just come and let me know, we'll have somebody go to a private room, take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and go to heaven, and it'll just take a few moments. Don't leave without making sure of your salvation. And in whatever else needs, if you need to use this altar, you come and do so. We'll ask God to bless as we go into an invitational hymn. We'll sing a couple of verses of an invitational hymn together, please.